Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that you are here with us and you are among us and you are moving in all sorts of ways. And we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are God over all and you are forever praised. And so, Lord, now as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would remind us of your presence and of your sovereign control over all things, that you are God over all and you are forever praised. And so, Lord, now we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I love this time of year. It is remarkable. There is a magic to it, and we have our traditions. I know you do, too. Last Sunday night was one of our traditions that we have just fallen in love with our annual sanctuary choir and orchestra program here at First Baptist Church, and to all of you who were part of making that happen, my goodness, absolutely incredible. I mean, don't you agree that the talent that God has brought here is just remarkable? It is just remarkable. And then last night, my goodness, Maestro, we were up in the mezzanine there at Skypack, and we were watching and experiencing that. And thank you all. And many of you were a part of that as well. But Maestro and Nancy Crone and all of you who took part in bringing that degree of festiveness to our community, what a magical moment. And then tonight, our children will perform, and we're going to get to see the giftedness of our children and their abilities that God has given them to bless and encourage us. And indeed, He has. But the thing about Christmas that always gets me is it seems to pass so quickly. It seems to pass so quickly, and all of a sudden, there's that day where you have to take the tree down. And I hate the day when you have to take the tree down because it's fun to get it all out. It's not quite as much fun to take it all down. It's fun to unpack all the ornaments and see all the various things that have told the story of our family over the years. And those years keep multiplying. And so those relics, those artifacts become ever more important. But then the time comes to pack them back up and put them up into the attic again. And that's not nearly as fun. And really, it reminds me on this Advent Sunday of joy, of the difference between joy and happiness. See, happiness emerges from and responds to our circumstances. That's the best happiness can do. It comes from what we're going through and responds to what we're going through. But the joy that we celebrate in Jesus Christ our Lord transcends our circumstances. It is a reality that is steady, that is unshaken and unshakable. It is a reality that sees us through no matter what may be going on. It's the reality that the angel proclaimed to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. And so now I want to invite you to open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 10 through 14. If you're in the red pew Bible in front of you, that will be page 857. And if you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can tune in to our live event right now. But the theme of the message is simply the pronunciation of the angel to the shepherds on the hillside. Luke 2:10 says this, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Fear not, the angel said, "for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This morning I read an article from Kentucky Today, the publishing arm of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, and YouVersion, that some of you are tuned into right now, just released their most popular verse of 2019. What is that verse that more people searched for, more people shared? What is the most popular verse of the year? You know what it was? Philippians 4:6. Now, they isolated it down to that one verse, but I want to remind you of the passage around Philippians 4:6 by reading to you Philippians 4:4-7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here again, the most popular verse of YouVersion in the United States of America in 2019. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, you wonder why that's the most searched verse, the most shared verse. I think we all know the answer, because life is filled with anxiety-inducing realities. And we have to muddle our way through and seek to get from moment to moment, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and put it all together. Recognizing that life is full of great moments of happiness and life is full of great moments of sorrow and everything in between. So what is on the mind and what is on the heart of the United States of America that would tune into the YouVersion Bible app, and there are millions of us, is what do you do when those realities come? How do we respond to those circumstances that would induce anxiety in us? And God tells us through His Word. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So with that action, we can combat the anxiety that life often causes and induces. Most popular verse. It's the most popular verse because what we celebrate today on the Advent Sunday of joy is what we all want. We want to rejoice. We want to rejoice in the Lord, and we want to do it always. Our heart's desire is to live in the joy that the angel pronounced, saying, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for how many people? All the people." Well, we're going to learn why those glad tidings of great joy came as we look at the verses that come next. Look with me at verse 11. So Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, you and I are so familiar with this verse that we blow right by it, but there is so much weight and so much depth contained in this one little verse. So let's look for a moment. The angel says, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Here's the reason why. The angel begins with four. So in other words, here's why I'm bringing you glad tidings of great joy. For unto you, a bunch of shepherds on a hillside leading sheep in the darkness. Unto you, shepherds. The angel is echoing the words of Isaiah chapter 9 that says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. And these shepherds are dwelling in the darkness of the night, but they're dwelling in a deeper darkness too. They're dwelling in a deeper darkness of oppression by Rome. They're dwelling in a deeper darkness of feeling like sojourners in their own land. They're dwelling in the deeper darkness of a life that doesn't always go exactly the way you think it's going to go. But Isaiah's promise is that those who dwell in darkness, and if we're honest, we all dwell to some degree in darkness, will have seen a great light. Will have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. And so the angel begins by saying, unto you, shepherds. And the angel says to you today, unto you, unto you, unto you is born this day. Now, what is significant about a birth? Going back to the prophet Isaiah, to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet had said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So today is born unto you this one who was prophesied, a son who is Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. That's the thing about our God. He is both transcendent and he is immanent. He is both over and above all things, and he is yet with us. And that's been his pattern since the beginning. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He was with the people of Israel as they were brought out of captivity in Egypt, and he tabernacled with them. That's why they had the tabernacle, so that he could come down and be with his people. He was there with them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God is with his people. He was there in the temple built by the hands of Solomon and his men in Jerusalem, and he would come down and he would be among his people. And then in John chapter 1, the apostle tells us that the Word of God, who was in the beginning with God, who in the beginning was God, the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. God came down. God came near. And so unto you is born this day. That birth matters because the prophet had said one would be born who would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us. God is with you. No matter where you are and no matter what you're facing, God is with you. You never walk a step alone. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can fear no evil, for he is with you. His rod and his staff, they will comfort you. Emmanuel. Well, where was this child born? Unto you, the angel said, is born this day in the city of David. And yet that matters too. Because in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet said, but you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. And so we sing at this time of year, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So even the location of his birth was the fulfillment of a prophecy that God would bring hope and peace and joy and love even to the little town of Bethlehem. For in that little town, on that sacred silent night, the hopes and fears of all the years were met in that place that night. So unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. A Savior. Jesus' name matters. Jesus was named by God. The angelic messenger who visited Mary named Jesus, communicated to Mary what the child's name was to be. The angelic visitor that visited Joseph named Jesus, communicated unto Joseph what that child's name was to be. The decree of Almighty God was that this child was to be called Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 1, we learn why. You shall give him the name, the angel says, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Names matter. Jesus' name matters. Jesus comes from the Greek Jesus, which is from the Hebrew Yeshua, which is a variant of Yehoshua. And do you know what that name means? Yahweh saves. And so even in that sacred, special, holy name Jesus, which was a common name of the day, God was communicating that he was going to save his people. The Gaithers wrote a song that has become dear to me. It's called There's Something About That Name. Church I grew up in, we got a new music minister, and he changed the song they brought the offering down to, which is nearly fatal. But we survived. We made it through. And the song to which he changed it, we had previously sung the doxology. Y'all are familiar with the doxology. Well, now we sang a Gaither song. Can you imagine? And it was entitled There's Something About That Name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. And in giving that precious baby the name Jesus, God was communicating what that precious baby would do. That baby would be the Savior of His people. That baby would provide salvation not only temporally, but eternally by the mighty hand of God. So unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, it is His title. Christ comes from the Greek Christos, which comes from the Hebrew word for Messiah. They both mean anointed one. The anointed one of God, sent by the hand of God to rescue the people of God. For on this day is born to you a Savior in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And that matters too. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the prophet said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And you and I know that the day is coming that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So if you're taking notes, I want you to see that joy is found in the recognition that God has kept His promise. God has delivered upon every prophecy of the Old Testament. It finds its yes in Jesus. God has kept His promise, and if you want to live in joy, you've got to look back at your own life and see God has kept His promise to you. God has seen you through. I heard a preacher who told the story of one day long ago when his church was in a building campaign. He was complaining to a mentor about how the funds just weren't coming in the way that he thought they should. And he said, he was very patient with me and he let me whine. He said, that's exactly what I was doing in retrospect. I was whining. And when I got done, after he'd listened to all that, my mentor just said, "Hmm." And I said, "Well, what does that mean? What is, hmm?" He said, "Well, it's amazing to me how many times God has let you down in the past, so that you can't trust Him now." And of course, the preacher was taken aback because God had never let him down. God had always seen him through. So joy is found in the recognition that God has kept His promises. But then look at verse 12. Luke chapter 2, verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Number two is this. Joy is found in the recognition that God is keeping His promises. So not only has all of this come to pass, shepherds, you get to go look at what God is actively doing right now. How many of you know that the Bible promises that God will finish, He will bring to completion the good work that He has begun in you? And so every time I'm with somebody in the hospital or in some sort of a crisis, I always like to remind us that God is moving in ways we cannot now perceive. And I want to remind you of that and me of that today. Right now, God is moving in ways we cannot perceive. In John 5:17, Jesus said, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." So that night, the angel spared the shepherds from having to ask the question, "God, are you moving?" Because the angel communicated, you will be able to go into Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord is doing. You and I don't always get that benefit. You and I are called to trust that God is doing something even though it doesn't seem like it. That God is moving in ways we cannot now perceive, and those ways are just as powerful as ways we might be able to perceive. But God is working. God is moving. God sees all things. He is the sovereign ruler of our cosmos. He's in charge. There's nothing that gets by Him. There's nothing that shocks Him. There's nothing that knocks him back on his heels. Our God is in the heavens, the psalmist says. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. So God is currently keeping his promise. And then, number three, joy is found in the recognition that God will keep his promise. Look at verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Joy is found in the recognition that God will keep his promise. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, God's not going to leave anything incomplete. And in this moment, these shepherds get a glimpse into glory. They see multitudes, myriads of angels worshiping God, glorifying God, and giving them a glimpse into the glory that would await them because of the work done by this little baby who is Christ the Lord. God gives them a glimpse into glory that they might know that the work of God will never fail to meet its end. After all, what did Jesus say on the cross just before he gave up the ghost? It is finished. Tetelestai. It is and remains forevermore finished. The debt of sin has been paid in full for all who would trust Christ. And so I want to give you a glimpse into the glory that awaits you. There at the bottom of your notes, I've given you Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. I would encourage all of us this Christmas season on this Advent Sunday of joy to let these words wash over us. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this awaits you. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. So if you're in Christ, that's what's coming for you. That's the ending to your story. But here's the catch. It's not an ending. For if you are in Christ, your story goes on with God forevermore. Never will you suffer again in that glorious day. Never will you deal with disease again in that glorious day. Never will you deal with relational pain again in that glorious day. Never will you deal with the reality and the consequences of sin again in that glorious day. Never will you have any sense that there is a distance between you and God again in that glorious day. But there's only one way to get to that glorious day. There's only one way to have the joy of the Lord, which transcends circumstances and doesn't result from them. And that is by placing all of your faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Lord.